Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is the words of the psalm that we spoke a moment ago, Psalm 111. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? That is a question we ask the little kids, isn't it? And they come up with various answers, usually answers that they've heard before from somebody else, or answers that they know will bring a smile to our face. And so they'll say, well, when I grow up, I want to be a fireman. And when I grow up, I want to be a policeman. When I grow up, I want to be a teacher. When I grow up, I want to be a doctor. And what do we say? We smile and we say, good for you. I know you would be good at that. What though if there was a child who said to you, when I grow up, I want to be wise. When I grow up, I want to be wise. You know, we might look at a child like that and we might think, you know, I wonder if that child's a little odd. When I grow up, I want to be wise. Odd for not chasing after something that's their talent or their personal interest, or chasing even, we have to admit it, after something that is lucrative or pays good money. We don't know why they wouldn't choose that. And yet it's a strange thing, as odd as that may sound, if you, once again, open the pages of your Bible, you're going to find something that is even more odd. The Bible, the book of life, John chapter 6, Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. This book of life that shows us what life is about and shows us what everlasting life is about, the Bible has absolutely nothing to say about firemen. It has next to nothing to say about policemen. It has almost next to nothing to say about teachers. And once again, it has next to nothing to say about doctors. But what it does talk about over and over again, page after page, is wisdom. So, what do you want to be when you grow up? Book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Blessed is that person who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her, a feminine noun, the gain from her, wisdom, is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom. A possession, a treasure, a profit, something to get, something to obtain, something to acquire, something to have as your life's goal. And so maybe that little child doesn't sound so odd after all. Especially when you read today's psalm, for instance, Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. But that verse does not stand alone. Job chapter 28, behold, in other words, take a look at this. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and understanding. Book of Proverbs chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, with all of those verses, did you notice a pattern there? One thing that kept being repeated over and over again? Actually, two words that seem to keep going together with each other, going together hand in hand. What are they? The fear of the Lord and wisdom. Now, if you open your Bible commentaries and you take a look at those, and some of you have Bibles with footnotes at the bottom, you'll find that over and over again, the Bible commentaries say that to fear the Lord is to regard him with, and I quote, respect and reverence and awe. Now, there is nothing that is wrong with that statement. Matter of fact, we just sang a hymn. What did we say? O Lord my God, when I what? In awesome wonder, consider all the works thy hands have made. There's nothing wrong with that. But I wonder if it's actually entirely right. I wonder if that's just maybe a little bit tame, just a little bit academic. I think the Israelites in the Old Testament lesson for today would have answered yes, I think so. I think that's just a little bit tame. Deuteronomy chapter 18, this is Moses speaking. He says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb or Mount Sinai, on the day of the assembly, remember with the darkness and the lightning and the rumblings and the earthquakes, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Mount Sinai on the day of the assembly, when you said, and I quote, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. I don't want to hear anymore. Let me not see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they're right in what they have spoken. Book of Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the exact same event. This is what it says. It says, there was a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them from God, because they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. I can't stop shaking in the presence of God. Now, those two scripture passages do not sound to me like respect and reverence and awe. What they sound like is being scared silly. They sound like terror. They sound like great fear. When I was in the fourth grade, living back in the Midwest, a tornado hit our school. Came across the ball fields. You could see debris flying through the air all over the place when you looked out the fourth grade window where I was at. And when my teacher looked out and he saw that, what did he say? Did he say, look, kids, isn't nature awesome? No, what he said is, get under your desk, get there now. He shouted at us, and we took cover. Thankfully, it lifted right before it hit the school, took a few shingles off, and that's what happened. Scared silly. We were up at the head of the Valley of Yosemite, my family and I, and some clouds were coming in, and all of a sudden, as we were sitting there looking at the beautiful valley, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, all of a sudden there was a bam! Bam of thunder. We jumped out of our shoes. It was so loud, just one thunderclap, kaboom. Were we in awe? I suppose so, but the next thing we did was get in our car. It's called being afraid. Saw some friends down in the LA area, went and visited them, and they were describing an earthquake they had had some time before, and they said when the earthquake came, our whole house jumped 2 feet in the air. That's what it felt like. Did they say, oh, wasn't that awesome? Or did they run out the door and let's get outside just in case something else happens? And then, of course, in our valley here, we know about the fires. When the fires came a couple of years back, did we stop and look and say, my, what an awesome sight? Or did you run? Run in fear. And so, the Lord's holiness, his absolute separation from sin, his rejection of sin, God's fury upon sin, the reaction to that is not just awe, but it is something to be afraid of, and that's for the greatest part of what happened on Mount Sinai in our Old Testament lesson. It wasn't just the thunder and the lightning and the earthquake and the smoke and the fires. It was the holiness of God that scared the people silly. You see it in the gospel lesson for today when Jesus comes into a synagogue, and what does Satan do? Satan, who is possessing a man, says, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. And what's he doing? He's barking like a dog. Why does a dog bark? Well, you could say they're a mean dog, or what? They bark because they're scared. They're afraid. They're frightened. I know who you are, he said. You are the Holy One of God. It was that fear that started the Reformation that our church is named after, Martin Luther, Lutheran Church. Started the Reformation, and what happened? Martin Luther went to church as a young man very studiously. He went all the time. And as he went into the church, there was a picture right above the doorway. And the picture was of the Lord Jesus judging the living and the dead. Some cast into hell, some going to be with the Lord into heaven. He was terrified by it. So much so that when he was a law student years later, he was walking through the countryside. And as he was walking through the countryside, a storm came, and what else? Lightning, bam, right next to him. And he was so frightened, he said a prayer. He said, Saint Anne, deliver me, and I'll become a monk. He thought that the way out of God's fury and God's wrath and God's judgment upon sin was to balance it off with a good life, a moral life, a clean life. But that's not what the Lord has told us. He says, yes, you fear the Lord your God. But then look at today's lesson. You said in Deuteronomy, chapter 18, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said, they're right. They're right in what they have spoken. And so the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses is talking here, from among you, from your brothers. It is to him that you shall listen. In other words, you have a holy God and you have sinful people, and there's got to be something between them. There's got to be a barrier between the two. Otherwise, as sinful people, we fall far short of God's glory. And so what did God do? He said, I sent you Moses, but now I'm going to send you who? My son. And my son will live perfectly to count on your record. My son will die sacrificially to be shed, his blood shed for your sin to wash you clean. My son will be the one that you listen to his words, but you also listen to what he did. He went to hell for you. He was punished for you so that you might stand righteous and clean before God. And so, consider the words that we heard. Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You could put that another way if we want to. You could say this, if you know what you are, you know you have no hope before God. And that's wisdom. But if you know what Jesus is, and you know what he did for you, that is understanding. And if you end up with Jesus, trusting in his shed blood, if you end up with Jesus looking to his pardon and his forgiveness, then you can say the words of Psalm 111 and say them in a totally different tone of voice. You can say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Great are the deeds of the Lord. Powerful and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness stands forever. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is compassionate. The Lord gives food to those who fear him. The Lord remembers his covenant of mercy forever. His people inherit the earth. Everything the Lord commands can be trusted. He redeemed his people, saved them from sin and death, and the power of the devil. Because if you end up with Jesus, trusting in his cross, you have found a wise life. A life that ends with the Lord Jesus is a wise life. So I will ask you once again, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? Fireman? Police officer? Teacher? Doctor? Preacher? All good, but all of them put together do not compare with what? To be wise. To know who you are, but also to know what Jesus did for you. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.